enough time for the break. So, hello, my name is Ondrej Sevecek, and I do enterprise security and research of various security things. For example, I have discovered two security bugs in Windows for which Microsoft has security bulletins. And I also do security audits and some after incident, say audits and reconstruction of infected environments and so on. And I would like to show you some things that I experienced in during past years in several environments with my customers. We did, I think, four major incident responses in big companies, government companies, and banks, and one media company, which consider themselves as very secure environments. They have everything such as firewalls, antiviruses, intrusion prevention systems, and CMs, and they have physical security and physical security parameters and everything. But their administrators just gave out their network on a golden plate to their employees, and virtually any of their internal employees was able to hack their network completely and become domain administrator in a matter of days. So we investigated it, and they hopefully tried to not doing the mistakes that they did before. But definitely with some continuing problems, because the environment was often completely hacked to roots. So I will show you some examples. We only have a very short time for this. So it will be a set of examples, maybe out of context, but they should show you how easy it might be for experienced and knowledgeable attacker to hack internal environment of a company if the administrators are doing mistakes and don't following basic security principles, and how not even any technical countermeasure can help you to prevent these infections and intrusions. I will be demonstrating it everything with on several systems. One has antivirus Node 32 installed, and another one have Kaspersky antivirus. Say, I have one detection, but that's not a problem for my attack. So we have two antiviruses, and you should see that none of the attacks that I will show you would be detected by the antiviruses, even if they state publicly that they have heavy stakes and everything, they will don't know anything about that. So basically, we start with some limited user account. Maybe just a brief environment introduction to my environment. I have several virtual machines. There's DC, the main control computer, just a single one, and several servers and several client workstations. And we start with a basic limited user account. Sorry, I need to pull out something. With a limited basic account on a workstation client 8.1, the other one is one. The person is called Itka, and she is just a basic user. The workstation is configured with user account control, and she also is not a member of any administrative group on the computer at all. See, she is just a limited user account. So, how can this type of user account come to some more powerful credentials of administrators? Like, definitely, there are hardware keyloggers, for example. So these are devices. You can look it up later if you want. You just plug it into your USB board, plug the keyboard into it, and it will capture all the keys that you press on the keyboard. Not even operating systems detect the keylogger because it's just a hardware device, not detected on the bus. So not even the antivirus can know about the hardware keyloggers at all. So if the administrators are stupid enough to come to workstations and type whatever powerful password they want, then even whatever stupid person can have that in his computer, he would capture the password definitely. So one mistake definitely. There are also software keyloggers for which you usually need to install the keylogger and download the keylogger from internet and install it on your workstation. Software keyloggers are better for the attacker because they distinguish between the passwords typed below the stars and the other text that you type otherwise. But I developed an example PowerShell or keylogger in PowerShell, which even this limited user can run. And if a more powerful user comes, it will capture his password or whatever he is doing. So I can show you how simple it would be. Another problem. Network access. It is a problem. I need to download the keylogger from somewhere. The person can also type the PowerShell script manually into the computer or download it from the internet. But will not make. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a network connection. Which is because of this. Router is turned off. The question is why. We will restore the connectivity. I hope quickly. Sorry. Could be Mexican. There's still the connectivity. Not yet. Now pinging already. So, if the limited user have a textual file with PowerShell keylogger code inside, can also download this PowerShell keylogger from my website. Then the user can just start PowerShell and not even starting a PS1 file, you can just right click and paste it into the PowerShell window. So that just paste there. In fact, the keylogger actually is PowerShell. It actually compiles .NET framework DLL into temp. And it uses Win32 API to capture the key presses. Okay. So if the person, for example, minimizes the window and calls support to come and to repair their keyboard, for example, then the support may come and everybody is taught to use runs, for example, for starting something. So if the administrator comes and starts the some tool, so some management tool under his credentials, it starts and maybe not because it's a person request validation. No problem because even if it required the elevation, the keys pressed were recorded by the running PowerShell keylogger. Problem, and do you see any reaction from the set? No, well, completely protected. So, is there any heuristics in the antivirus? No, because if there was, this was enough information for it to detect something. So, basically, you must be careful and don't type the most sensitive passwords on the workstation. Another way would be for the user, for the limited user, to become local administrator. You probably know this attack, but I would like to show you anyway, because if you don't know it, you must establish some basic, some baseline. So, if one wants to become local administrator, he only needs to boot the workstation to another operating system, such as the installation media of Windows, and modify the operating system offline. So Jitka has just started the system from Windows boot installation media. This operation would not be possible if the computer is encrypted with BitLocker and TPM, but who uses BitLocker with TPM? You should, but not too many people do that. So I just booted the machine with from Windows installation media. If you press Shift F10, Jitka can access her disk. So her disk is now her system disk is not a C drive now. The letters are assigned by the operating system, so it will be something else, such as this. Say her system drive is on disk E now, and then she, for example, goes to Windows folder and system 32 and just copies cmd.exe, the Microsoft executable, over another one, over utilman executable, which is another system tool which actually runs on the system account when it is run. So Jitka, if she is able to run utilman, it will start command line and she will run as a local system on that workstation. So I'll just restart again to the normal system. As you saw, this operation takes you, say, 2 minutes or 5 minutes or something like that. You can do that. Jitka can do that after work when she's just 5 minutes late or something. Or at home if it is a notebook. Then if the workstation starts, after it starts, she only needs to start utilman, which is actually this tool on the left, this ease of access, and she has a much easier access now. Because who am I now? I'm running as a local system on the control screen, and we can start, for example, whatever you like. So, for example, comp management. Let's see. And if Jitka wants to put her into administrator's group, she will be just there. Yeah. She's a member of all administrators now, closes all the windows and just logs on, and she's a local administrator. And we can check a set what that tool tells us about this intrusion. So nothing. Yeah. Sure, Jitka is perfect. So, be careful, the endpoint devices are doomed from the security perspective, and not even BitLocker with TPM can save you from more knowledgeable and decided attack. Then there are more powerful things that she can do if she is a local administrator. You may know about Mimikatz, which is a tool for extracting logon passwords from memory of the computers. When anybody logs onto a machine, it's his password, or at least hashes and Kerberos tickets are stored in memory. And with Mimikatz, you can extract this information from running computer memory. The problem is that Mimikatz is well known hacking tool. So if you look on another workstation, this tool too, we'll see that Kaspersky already detected that somebody was trying to start Mimikatz here and to capture. And it works like taking memory dump of LSASS system process, which stores the passwords in memory. So it was captured, blocked, and it cannot run on the workstation. But the only thing that you need, or that Jitka needs to extract the passwords from memory, is to take the memory dump of the system process. So we have this one detected. We cannot use this well-known hacking tool. But what about something else? If we, I'm here, I'm Kamil here, for example, or you can do that on DSL file or doing it here. Kamil is local administrator only, again, limited domain user. And if he starts CMD, he can run more legitimate tool, such as sysinternals, Microsoft's own versus dump tool, which dumps LSASS memory in a legal manner, not legal in principle, but legal because it's Microsoft digitally signed official tool for dumping memory. And it worked. It created a memory dump. And what Kaspersky tells me, one detection still on memory cards. So what would Jitka or Kamil do? They just dump the process and take it home and extract the password with memory cards from the dump offline at home. So no problem. So, no detection. Another thing, if you are a local administrator, you can always inject some software to other user sessions. For example, you create a scheduled task, or you define the run key in the registry. You know what I mean, probably, or you should know what I mean. It's like registry key. I probably don't have too many things here. Yeah, fake application. In a run key in registry, if you, as local administrator, put anything, you would get, it would be started once another person logs onto the workstation, such as the local administrator. So the domain administrator, if they are stupid, or maybe some limited administrator, if they are more wise, and for administering the workstations. And for example, if you put there something like here, for example, PowerShell. And with some command, something weird.
Mm-hmm. It's like
your king. Then you can put it into registry, and the other administrator will start it automatically when he was on the thing. And no antivirus detection. Yeah. So just by now is brighter. It's more important. So the problem is that administrators often rely on user account control. This is much advertised feature, the user account control. You know about the fact that you need to confirm all your administrative actions. Yeah, UAC. Same. Does it protect you, or does it protect the administrators at all? Maybe yes. So, if a local administrator starts PowerShell, for example, on that infected workstation, this is local administrator. Say, she is actually limited. So she cannot perform system modification actions because the PowerShell, because the software is by default started limited, with limited access, and it's not member of administrators. So if Jitka or the infected administrator is starting a malicious script, such as this one, this small script, the attacker would inject this script to run key of the registry, and the support administrator will come and log on and start it automatically. But we have UAC, And this script is trying to modify and add user Martin to local administrators on that workstation. Say, no problem, because PowerShell, user account control will block the malicious action locally because you are actually not a member of administrators, and the administrator would not approve the action, definitely, or might not approve the action. So you feel safe, but not at all, because UAC doesn't work remotely. So if the administrator comes, actually, I will have to come, really, as the administrator, say, workstation admin comes, he is limited administrator of several workstations. He downloads the malicious script himself because there was no injection actually. So we just simulate the injection. We have the script, the limited PowerShell. And if you run the script against a remote computer, and I'm adding Veronica to remote administrator group on another workstation in the network, then no problem, it worked, and it actually did the modification. So again, the administrators just rely on trust UAC that it may save them. But if the account is member of administrators on any other computer in the network, then you have that computer immediately, and no script injection will try to modify anything locally. You just go to all the other computers, try it remotely, and come back in a turn. So this means that UAC is not actually a security measure to protect administrators. It is a thing to limit stupid users from breaking their computers, so that if you deploy workstations and make them local administrators, the people will not destroy the workstations in 2 days, but maybe in five days or something. So, I actually don't understand why UAC is enabled by default on servers, because on servers you usually log on with at least account which has at least one another server with administrative privileges. So be careful. Then Jitka now has passwords and access of limited workstation administrator. So even if the wannabe security environments that we investigated, they often don't use limited workstation administrators and they do everything under the main account. So Jitka is the main admin and you by that. But sometimes you see that somebody is really using the limited accounts and that they administer workstations with something else, just like my workstation administrator, and use different accounts for Active Directory administration and everything. But in that case, I always see that they do the stupidest thing and have the same password on both or more accounts because they don't want to remember the passwords. So why? Definitely, if you are a hacker and have a single password or a single user from domain, what would you do? Just list all other user accounts and try the password one time on every account. Even if you have, for example, say 5,000 accounts, and you do this password trial in a minute, for example, in 1 minute. So you will have all tested all the passwords in 83 hours, which is actually something like 3 days or something. And it would be one password trial in a minute and no account lock, because you are locking accounts not after a single password attempt. So, do you have such an intrusion prevention system that monitors two very slow password attempts, failing password attempts on many accounts? No. So this is a very easy attack, because, and it's again not well known, that all logins are publicly known to any authenticated user. say, I will show you that Yitka and not even Yitka, to list all user accounts from an Active Directory, not by default, but by definition. It can be only a even local user account running on a domain workstation, because the workstation has the account into Active Directory and it can list the other accounts. Oh shit, local, right? What's the problem here? We don't have this account here. Maybe the other one. Ah, it's the second workstation. I'm always. So we log on with local on there. So you don't even need an Active Directory account yourself to list all user accounts from a domain. You just need to take a partial script, definitely, and take and do sit translation, because all user accounts have sit security IDs, which are terminated with an ID, which is only incremented. So when you create an account, it just gets an incremented ID at the end. So if you know the sit of the domain, which you know on the domain machine, then you just increment the reads at the end and translate them to username. So to use logic, say we just take partial and, for example, retype the script if you have any problems getting the script from network or from web or anywhere. And definitely, and now I'm cycling through 500 seats to 10,000 or something higher. And you get this list of all logins from the domain. So to know logins is to have an account into domain. You have that, Yitka have that, Yitka knows a password, so why not try the password on all accounts just once? So be careful. After these methods that somebody gets your maybe domain administrator password or maybe more, just some limited but powerful administrator password, then the environments sometimes detect that and determine, usually after some data breach or when the functionality is somehow corrupted, and then they want to repair the environment, and then they want to remove the infection from the environment, eventually. But be careful. See, first, for example, the first thing that that administrators think about after knowing about an intrusion, they go to change passwords. Or workstations maybe, but definitely in Active Directory domain, and they just change passwords on all accounts. But if the infection was having domain administrator password access, you probably don't have means how to remove that definitely. For example, if you are changing the password, then and the attacker was domain administrator at least for several seconds during the infection, you can always try to change the password. But if you change password or reset the password because you are the administrator, then you can do it. But if the attacker knew what to do, then he would install a password filter, which actually captures all the password changes on the domain controllers, and not only password resets, but also removed password changes. So for example, this was reset operation, and my sample password filter just logged reset password on Iveta account, but this user changed his password remotely from the workstation by using control delete, and the new password was this one. Actually, the fact that domain controllers receive password changes in full, although the channel is encrypted, definitely reverse, hopefully, but the password goes to domain controller in the full form, because domain controllers must check the quality of the passwords, the length and complexity and everything. So they need to see the passwords, and you definitely can install a DLL which actually checks the password quality. My DLL doesn't check anything, just saves it into a file. So if you are a knowledgeable attacker and you are domain administrator, you definitely do this to capture the changed passwords later. So one example. Another example would be, once again, if there are administrators or even domain administrators, you are not able to detect their malicious software. If the attacker is a stupid script kiddie who is downloading some malware from internet, the antiviruses would capture that. But if the person knows how to do things, you wouldn't be able to detect him. So, for example, in my case, I tried to fool well-known logon as local administrator. We can try to fool well-known tool called AutoRuns, which is used by definitely millions of security professionals over the world. You know that, no? This is internals. Microsoft AutoRuns, which is definitely a great tool to look at a system and see what's starting automatically from RAM key and other registered locations and from WMI and everywhere. And this tool has some basic options that you use, because everything is quite a big list. It's not too big now, but we can make it longer if we filter out some things, such as hide Windows entries, and if we rescan this list. And I have a very basic workstation, maybe not even with Microsoft Office. And it's a long list of things that are starting automatically on that workstation. So, definitely, if you want to remove an infection, you take this tool and check all the software from what is starting, who developed it, where it is starting from. And but definitely you do not usually go one by one for this 1,000 items or 10,000 items. And you have this filtering, there is the default filtering hide Windows entries. So this logon list displays only Windows mail. And you have Microsoft Corporation, so it's a good software. So what if an attacker? So how to fool this? So how to hide your malware against, for example, this tool, and definitely even against antiviruses and anything. If you saw any malware on a workstation, it is usually like a service without description. So you find all the malware by searching for services without description. And also they are called something like malware exes, and they are two, and they are watching themselves. But if you do it correctly, or if the attacker does it correctly, it wouldn't be detectable. So, how's that called? Test on a Microsoft Flickr. So I developed an executable. It's just a stupid executable which does anything, nothing, but I changed its details page. If you have Visual Studio, it took me 15 minutes to download and install Visual Studio, then 1 minute to create the executable, and then 5 minutes to find how I can put there this R symbol into the text. But I just compiled my own executable, which says that it's Microsoft operating system with version 6.1, which is actually not this operating system. This is 6.3. Nothing. And I take this application, and the attacker, for example, puts it into Windows System 32 folder, saves it there. Yeah. We have UAC, so we have to tell the system to do it. Microsoft app, we can put this into registry run key. Where Microsoft Windows kernel run. Put it here. Link fake. Put it there. Executable. And what's autoruns tell us? Nothing. It's still running, nothing. It didn't show it. It doesn't show it because it's a Windows entry. Yeah? So, this stupid check is done just by comparing the text in the executable metadata with anybody who is able to do it, and even with a different operating system version. Yeah? So, nice. I filter it out. Windows entries, and we can go further. For example, if you put here a string value PowerShell update, for example, and type there PowerShell in this command, you understand that this command does some bad thing. It's PowerShell, but it's PowerShell, which is Windows entry now. So whatever the PowerShell does, it doesn't matter because it's a Windows software PowerShell. Then the tool comes further because they can verify code signatures. Definitely, Windows software is usually, or quite often, digitally signed. So we have this digital signature verification against trusted root authorities. And my fake pops out because it's not digitally signed. It still says Microsoft Corporation but not verified. And note that you don't see PowerShell because PowerShell is the Microsoft Windows entry digitally signed by Microsoft. Not bothering about the commands below after that. Yeah? So, okay, how do we solve this signature problem? No problem. We just install trusted root authority, which has the same strings or texts as normal Microsoft root authority. So I just created a root certificate manually with the same, with similar texts, same text and similar, and different private and public key, definitely. But just say, the local, if I'm local administrator or even domain administrator, he would be able to distribute it over the whole forest. You can definitely install the fake Microsoft root authority certificate into local computer. We can see the my fake certificate like here. Yeah. And if you take trusted root certification authorities, and we have these two Microsoft root authorities, yes, the same text. The only difference is that my was not carefully created, and I just put there 50 years or something, or 15 or something like that, so that it expires only at 2067 year. But it's trusted and it contains the same text or subject. And so now we probably need to restart the authorance tool. And we are going to see this was a problem. How not verified? Guys, you are. Oh, they are breaking my demo. Why? Yes, because the fake app is not signed, actually. Sorry. Signatures was updated. Yeah, sorry. This one was not signed. I have another one signed, digitally. So I take the signed one, put it into System 32, put it there. And in registry, I need to put another value which will be fake signed. You can prepare this Microsoft fake app. It's not that now. Microsoft fake unsigned executable. I hope it's correct. And now, what do we have here? It's verified, actually. Yeah, verified Microsoft Corporation. Whoever don't trust Microsoft Corporation. Now, but the weird thing here is that it's not filtered out as Windows entry now. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was not able to create a certificate for the Windows binary signatures because I had several just an hour for that. And I was not able to find out root authority. So I just created a certificate for Microsoft root authority. So fake sign is filtered out if it is, if you select Microsoft filtering, if you filter out Microsoft entries. So it's the same certificate that signs, similar certificate that signs Office and everything. Yeah. So this tool just ignores it and shows only the unsigned fake, which I definitely wouldn't distribute as the hacker. So that's it. We can look at very happy Node30 view, which is really happy with these operations, such as installing trusted root certification authority, putting local administrators on the other computers and everything, and modifying system run keys with PowerShell and any other shit that comes from anywhere. I don't say it's possible to detect it, but they tell us that they have heuristics and high intelligence and that they can detect everything. They can detect only exact binary signatures of well-known worldwide use hacking tools and nothing else. So don't rely on these and just be careful and behave securely, and you may be more protected than these my customers, for example. So, thank you for